line.
Love line is meant for an adult audience. Love line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, Rilo Kiley in the band. Jenny Lewis, and I should say in the studio, Jenny Lewis and Blake Sennett are both here. And then we'll do a little rotation thing at the top of the hour. If these guys don't work out, we'll do it sooner. For Coldplay, which is a very good live band. And the tour is...
Coldplay, I've never heard of them. Who's that?
Never heard of Coldplay?
Wait a minute. Mm.
They came in here back when there were nobody, remember?
Several times.
Oh, yeah? Oh, maybe they did come in there several times.
I used to confuse them with 311.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Yes,
you're an idiot.
Just because they're a tall guy, you know, a bunch of tall guys.
Oh, bands. Okay. Wait, there's a bunch of short, fat guys? Name me a band with a bunch of short, fat guys in it.
They just reminded me of one another. I know one had an accent, one didn't.
All right. Well, let's say hi to Jenny and Blake. Hi. Sorry. Sorry about that.
Hey, how's it going?
I was looking and seeing that Jenny and Blake were both actors before forming the band. Yeah. Jenny was in Pleasantville. Very underrated, but very good movie.
Huh.
And
she played Jake Long's
was in
daughter.
Boy Meets World and Salute Your Shorts, which I can't. I remember the name, but I don't remember seeing it. Yeah, how'd you go from the movie or television or features into the band?
Well, I think Jake tired of the old acting career, and for myself. I think music just was always a little bit more important than saying two words in Pleasantville.
I remember you saying four.
Four, yeah, they were.
But I saw the director's cut.
Yeah.
But if a good role came around, you might jump on it, right?
You know, Pedro Almodovar, possibly, but I think we're pretty busy with the music stuff, yeah.
Is how's Coldplay? They struck us as very nice, genteel sorts.
Gentlemen.
Super, super nice guys. We played with them in Las Vegas, of all places, and we opened for them, and they were super nice and watched our show, and I don't know, like a week later.
How does that work? They just get hold of you, and they're like, hey, we liked your set, and you want to go out with us?
Yeah, pretty much. We got a call thereafter that said, you know, Coldplay wants to know if you're available for a month for this national tour, and we said yes.
If I knew somebody who was in a up and coming band, I would constantly F with them by playing the manager of, you know, I'm representing
you
two. I'm representing the Rolling Stones. We caught your set at Steve's house. We thought it was awesome. You could really just BS because no one knows the voice or the name of the manager or the record rep or whoever's calling on their behalf, you know. It'd be endless.
He'll crush some high hopes out there.
Maybe that's what's going on.
Where'd the name come from?
Maybe we're...
Rilo Kiley.
I believe it was born of a dream in a sports almanac. A dream that Blake had years and years ago.
It's true.
And what happened in Pray Tell in that dream?
I was being chased by it. This is bizarre and ridiculous, but I was being chased by a sports almanac through...
Chased by a book.
An almanac.
But that's correct. By a book.
Would it have legs and arms?
Well, you know, in the...
Oh, yes. Okay, got it. Yes.
Yeah. Here's the thing about dreams or cartoons. Even if it's like a walnut nutcracker or something, all it has to do is do that movement fast enough
shut.
And it'll propel itself.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
You notice that.
It's like a squid.
Like a clam in the water.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so all you got to do is flap.
It wasn't trying to chew on you. It was propelling itself by flapping its
tail. Well, but then once it got to him, it would stop propelling and start consuming.
Okay, then what?
And I don't know, when it got to me, I leafed through it. You know, dreams don't make much sense. When I leafed through it, I came upon a Australian rules football player from the
that was his name.
19th century named Rilo Kiley. It's kind of an embarrassing
In reality, had you seen that in a...
I don't think so. I don't think that character
exists.
You
ever go and try to look it up and see if it exists?
If you Google Rilo Kiley, you just come back with a lot of pictures of us. So I think...
He's tried it, Adam.
That rugby player's family's pissed.
I think it's unique.
And you woke up, you were 12 years old, and sat up in bed and said, I've got to form a band.
And I wrote it down on a... You know, on a blotter, you know, on an office desk when I woke up. And I don't know, I came back to it when we were trying to think of a name. And then we thought we'd use that for like one show and then change it, because who wants that name? And who can remember that anyway? But, you know.
There we are.
Yeah.
Well, we'll hear something off the CD in just a couple of few and take some phone calls first. Let's talk. Oh, where are we going here, Drew? Six. Sarah?
Yes.
You're 25?
I am. Hi, guys.
What's up?
Howdy.
Adam, I want you to know that it's hard to listen to your voice on the radio and watch your show at the same time, but it can be done.
Yeah, thanks.
Well done, Sarah.
Comedy Central, everybody. 11:30.
Yeah. I actually have a comment and a question. My comment, you guys were talking with Dave Baptiste's band last night about the music industry and the music trading kind of thing.
We're talking about the internet stuff. Are people downloading and ripping off music?
Right. I'm a firm believer of buying a CD from a band that's worth buying. Mm-hmm. And there are some bands these days that are making some really good music.
Meanwhile, her question says, uses a dildo, had chlamydia. Wants to know if she's safe to use the same dildo. But
we'll talk about the esoteric about bands and the internet trading. It's all
right. Keep going.
Sorry, guys. I was just going to say that if more bands would make some music worth, you know, more than just a couple of songs on their CDs.
I know. But look, I hate this retarded excuse. Like, hey, anyone who leaves their briefcase on their passenger seat and the window open deserves to have that. Kiss my ass, deserves. Like, look, if these people start making CDs that had more than one, then don't listen to it.
Right.
It's for sale.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, look, here's the deal. A box of See's candy is $13. You may not like a few of them in there. Don't buy it.
Yes.
You don't go, now I can rip it off because I don't like
all the candy.
Yeah, I don't like the ones that have the orange peel in it. Yeah. So I'm just going to rip off the box.
That's the logic.
If that old bitch would start making candy that had more nuts in it and less of that weird orange peel stuff, I would pay for it. But until they do that, I'm just going to start ripping it off.
Yeah.
Shut up. The only thing worse than actually doing whatever it is you're doing that's wrong is the retarded rationale that follows it. Just admit you're sort of weak or you're cheap or you're not that great a person or you're not of substance, and then just go ahead and do it. I'm all right with that. We're pretty easy on people that go like you go, why did you do that? Why'd you get your girlfriend pregnant when you were 14? And then the guy just goes, I was stupid. We leave you alone immediately.
Well, you wouldn't. Be fair.
No, we do. When someone says they're stupid.
Yeah, you actually admire them, and then you take off after them.
I admire them for their candor and their stupidity.
Their clarity.
And not knowing what the word candor means. Sarah?
Yes, I appreciate your honesty, Adam.
Okay. All right, so what?
Here we go. What's the question?
Ask your question.
Okay, so, I had STD. I had chlamydia, and I took some medicine, got rid of it, and... The dildo I used before with the chlamydia, is it safe to, what do I have to do?
Chlamydia. That was good.
Right.
Yes, you can certainly, wash down real good, put in the washing machine.
Hit it with some antibacterial soap. I think chlamydia is chlamydia a bacterial infection.
Doesn't live very long outside the body.
Oh. Yeah. They just start organism. Mixing Lubriderm with what is that, what's a Purell?
Oh,
maybe a little Astroglide Purell.
Oh,
put
there
a little
go.
Ad in there.
Little dildo.
Start marrying it. It'd be like that Reese's peanut butter cup commercial.
Beautiful.
Mm. Pow! Two of your favorite things now. Now is one. Hey, Sarah.
Yes.
So there you go.
All right, baby.
Anyway, here we go.
Okay,
let's go.
You sound like a delight. We're gonna have to let you go though.
All right, bye.
All right. Now, was she angry?
Yes.
A little bit, or
a lot,
but not abused. Sexually abused? No, physically abused.
Something.
Some physical abuse.
Something.
Light physical abuse?
No, sexual abuse.
Sarah?
Yeah, I've never been abused.
Little dusting of physical abuse?
No.
So nobody hit you with an object growing up?
No, never abused.
No one hit you with an object growing up?
No.
Where's your dad?
He's at home with my mom.
Uh-huh. When did you leave the house?
A couple years ago. I'm 25.
Right now.
Are you married?
No, I'm single.
Uh-huh. Divorced?
No.
Do you have any kids?
No.
What do you do? Oh, big gal.
I work. I'm a little overweight, I'll admit it.
Shocker.
I work at a law office. Mm-hmm. And I sell lingerie for a living, too. So I'm just school. I'm almost at my bachelor's.
All right. So. Lingerie over the phone, or?
No, I do home parties for ladies. It's fun.
Home parties.
Ooh. Yeah.
How does that work? They invite the ladies over, and then you show them the lingerie, and they buy it, huh?
It's really easy to book parties from, really. They buy lingeries and adult novelties and all kinds of good stuff.
Do they? Just the kind of person who went manning the law office. Who do you have come over? Like people you work with?
People call us and book parties, and it's a big business in Tulsa and Oklahoma.
All right. Well, all keep on going, baby.
Coming out there a couple ways, going to Oklahoma City.
I'm sure you host one of those dildo parties over there.
How'd you know?
You could do a little Q&A with Dr. Drew. A cardboard cut out of you by the front door. Q&A with Dr. Drew, 10:15, 11:30. And then we bust open the 7-layer dip. It's a real party. Dr. Drew, I have a butt plug, and I'm keeping it in a Crown Royal sack. Would that be considered safe? Say Crown Royal?
I have questions about sizes of butt plugs. This one is...
I have a graduated series, but two of the middle ones are missing. Could I just jump ahead from the third to the sixth?
Oh, my God. Jessica, 24, what's going on?
Yeah, I was with a guy for 4.5 years, and I tried everything I could to make it work. One of the things that broke us up is that even after having sex with him 12 times in 2 days, he was still masturbating 7 times a day, and he still wanted to go out and cheat on me.
Uh-oh. Wow. Was he bipolar?
Yes, bipolar, and later on, because of a drug overdose, became schizophrenic, which is another reason.
Well, you don't become schizophrenic, yeah.
But
anyway, so he's bipolar.
Seven times a day after having sex with you 12 times in what, a week? Did you say?
The bipolar can do superhuman things sometimes.
No kidding.
He would actually cause sores on his penis from masturbating so much.
All right. Well, I can't believe you let this fine slip between your fingers. You got to hang on with both hands. You know, this kind of stuff only comes around once in a lifetime.
I spoke to the guy's mother, and his father also had a problem of masturbating more than I would consider normal in amount of times in a day. I think 7 times a day is...
All right. Well, Jessica,
I'm picturing one of those General Mills International Coffee commercials.
Yes. Yes. The two sitting around drinking coffee with International flavors.
Yes. I like the Irish cream. Me, I like the mocha java. Anyway.
The French roast.
Yeah, your kid beats off like a banshee. Yeah, his father was a classic.
Honey,
famous jacker himself. Oh, mm-hmm. Fade away. What do you got to talk to the mom about the dad beating off? What the? People do way too much talking.
Oh, especially women.
Yeah, I don't understand why.
The guy couldn't pull that off.
Why did you have to go talk to the mom about what the dad did?
Jessica?
Well, it just, her and I had conversations about why they had split up, why she didn't stay married to his father.
To her father.
Yeah. All right.
And it did came up to where he was overly sexually active like that, too.
All right, well, here's the deal. There's somebody got some sexual abuse in here, too, because that's the other thing, that you add bipolar and sexual abuse and you get severe sexual compulsivity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder if dad also was a perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his dad did go to prison for child molestation.
There you go. That completes the circle. There you go. But I don't think so. Couldn't be.
Couldn't be that, though.
Because everyone's different, Adam. Everyone's individual.
Here's what I've learned. It's impossible to judge. Yeah. We're all God's creatures. Everything's different. Everything happens for a reason.
And it's everyone's unique.
Everyone's unique.
Free man over their free will.
That's right. And I have you know no more what this man's father is doing than you do your father, than you do yourself. It's impossible.
Except
we're all different.
Except I know that he's a perpetrator with bipolarity.
Right. All
there
right.
you go. Good
Jessica.
Times.
Well, there you go. Good times. That's good for you. You don't have any kids, do you?
Yes, I have two from the same guy. One's a girl and one's a boy.
From this guy?
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to need you to do just to sort of expedite things under my new plan. Drop the boy off at prison, drop the chick off at the strip club, and that way we can just keep moving on. Just cut out all those bad report cards and the struggling and the flailing at junior college. Just go drop them off now. It's my Head Start program.
Do you have any prison?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, okay, and then the strip club, certainly.
Then you would be interested to know that I have been a stripper for the last 3 years.
Oh, all fantastic. Right, now I'm going to need you to put them in a slingshot and aim them toward the sun. So the kids have a chance.
Everything's coming into focus now, Jessica.
Okay, Jessica, could you please not cramp out any more kids? A number one.
Well,
if you tell me you're pregnant now, I'm going to dive through a plate glass window.
Uh-oh.
I can't have kids anymore.
Okay, good.
Why?
Cervical cancer.
Oh, now I'm going to hell. But it's still good if you can't have kids anymore. Is it going to... Is it bad?
You had everything
taken out?
Did you have radiation, too?
No, it just... nothing works properly anymore. Like the ovulation, anything like that.
Well, you'll get pregnant. Listen, if you're not taking contraceptives, you'll get pregnant again, too.
Are you on...
If you just had a cone procedure for localized cervical cancer, that is not going to make you infertile.
Well, no, it's... all right, since the cervical cancer, it did go into remission on its own.
The hell are you talking about?
Went into remission on its own?
No, she means an abnormal PAP.
Periods that would last for 3 months, and no type of hormonal treatments ever worked. Nothing has worked, and I haven't had sex in a couple of years.
Hey, Jessica, were you doing drugs during that time?
No, I haven't done drugs since I was 18. I've been completely sober. I don't drink.
All right.
Okay, but listen, your abnormal Pap smear doesn't mean you have cancer.
No, but it did come out as cancer. Well,
it's called
cancerous. Whatever.
Right, it's sin. It's called
Jessica.
Cervical,
the reason you're not getting pregnant is because you're not having sex. You will get pregnant again.
Yes,
believe me,
for sure.
I can hear it in your voice. Please
don't
that.
Plan to right now.
Yeah, well, if you don't use a contraceptive, you will. Okay.
I know you had two kids with a sexual addict. I'm sure you didn't plan on that either. So the planning phase is not one of your stronger phases in life. It's not one of your stronger suits. So plan on
using any kind of contraceptive I can.
Good.
And if I did get pregnant right now, through the contraceptives, I wouldn't have a child because I'm, I've got a 3-year-old and
perfect.
A 4-year-old.
All right.
Focus on your kids.
Take care of your kids.
Take care of yourself.
What are you doing for money?
For money, well, I just quit dancing because I'm sick of the atmosphere, and I'm going into I was in college last year, and so I'm going back into college.
Good move. Excellent move, Jessica. Keep going.
Junior
Keep
college, going, though, right?
Yeah, I need to start out there.
Yeah, all right. All
right. Right now. Right now.
All right, why don't you just get a job? Junior college, waste of time.
Well, I just want to get the high GPA so I can get into university. I have an IQ of 138.
Right.
So they said it'd be a waste of time for me to not go to university.
Yeah.
Who's they? The GPA is not real great right now.
Oh,
turquoise, the transvestite stripper, totally be a waste of.
They told me.
They.
Oh, my.
All right, listen. Look, I don't want to be cruel, but here's the deal. You have a 3-year-old, you have a 4-year-old. You go to junior college for, I'm going to be kind,
4 years.
7 years. Yeah. Then you transfer to university. Meanwhile, your kid's 18 by the time you get out and you get that job.
Right.
Just go get a job. Just get a job. Start working. That's fine. Stay away from this guy.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of both. A little bit of school, a little bit of...
That's right.
Take a couple classes, learn a little history, but maybe get a job at the same time.
That's right.
That is sage advice. Let's hear something from Rilo Kiley, by the way. Do you have... are you queued up there? Oh, we do. All right. Hear a little something off the new CD called... More Adventurous, and this one is called Portions for Foxes.
Trash, but I know
Name of the album. That was a nice song.
Yeah.
We'll hear something else from the band as the night wears on. Jenny Blake in studio as we speak.
Hello.
Quick question for the band, or at least for Jenny. Armando?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, I just had a quick question for the band. I was just wondering, Jenny, when your solo album's coming out, and if you plan to start promoting that after the Coldplay tour.
Well, I just finished mastering it, and I think I'm going to put it out in January and hopefully do some touring in February or March.
Cool. And I know you're on Connor's label from Bright Eyes. How's that?
It's pretty cool. Dave Dondero's on the label, Willie Mason. I'm looking forward to it. And Blake also is putting out another Elected record on Sub Pop next year at about the same time. So it'll work well for our vacation time together.
Armando?
Cool. Are you guys going to start writing again with Riley Kiley after that sometime?
Probably are currently writing for the next album right now, but probably record the next album a little bit after that.
Hey, Armando?
Yeah.
You can see them. I'm trying to think where they're going to be with Coldplay if they're coming to a town near you.
Actually, they're Sunset Junction on Saturday, which I will be at.
Oh, okay. Well, then say hi, but don't get too close. All right, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
All right,
take care.
All right, man. We'll take ourselves a little break. Riley Kiley in studio tonight, and we'll be back to talk to Drew. Fierce commitment. Got a question. Has a downward curving penis.
Yeah.
Let's know about the operations to fix it. Oh, and a little Germany or Florida. And furthermore, I've decided we should play some Aces Accordion Countdown.
Oh, well, Michelle's here to bring it.
Engineers Michelle's here with the Ranchero music.
Always.
Now, this is going to be a big night.
Aces Ranchero Countdown, no good. You don't like that game.
Who was that was going to be a pair?
Here's what it was.
It was somebody's friend who was prepping them on coming up here and what to do.
Here's what it was. It was the chick who, like Julie Moran or somebody, or not Julie Moran. It was the chick that was on with Mark McGrath Entertainment Tonight or whatever.
And she had a friend who was a huge fan of the show.
No, it wasn't her friend. It was her 19-year-old assistant.
Right.
And you know, there's a syndrome that good-looking people have sometimes where they speak freely, you know, and they ask a lot of very innocent, insulting questions. They'll go like...
Innocent and insulting.
Right. They'll go like, whatever night they're on, like if they're on Wednesday night, they'll go, so you guys are only on Wednesdays? You right. go, no, we're on every night. Oh, okay. And how long's that been going on? 20 years. Okay. And are you here in town? Yeah, yeah.
100 markets.
Yeah. 100 markets.
20 years.
Yeah. So not more than just this one. Yeah. And which one is this one? What's the number on it? That's my whole family does that. What's your show? Rank Yanker? Crank?
Never
crank,
caught it.
Crank okay. Rankers? Crank Yankers. And what's that on? The comedy show? The comedy station? The Comedy Central? Yeah, is that what it's called? Yeah, it's been on for 3 years. Okay.
No, no.
What then, is that,
then,
cable?
Then they throw in it. Never caught it. So anyway.
Yeah, well, it's implied in the confusion. But, I mean, it all seems very innocent. Anyway, she came on and was basically explaining to us that her assistant was a 19-year-old flunky, was basically saying...
Prepping
her, saying, well, this bit is good, but this bit isn't good. And this
he liked Germany or Florida.
But he did not like Ranchero. Ace's Mexican Ranchero.
So Ryan O'Kiley will be the deciding vote.
We'll decide.
Yes. Ace's Ranchero countdown, no good. You don't like that game.
This is your assistant telling you what you don't like.
And she made us. She played it for us.
Yeah, she was like, hey, here's some valuable input from a retarded 19-year-old. Thanks, sweetie. Let me grab my steno pad. What else has he got for me? All right, we'll take a quick break. Quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody now.
Yes, I will be right back in a minute.
Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Rilo Kiley in studio tonight.
How's it going?
This is not them playing in the background. Jenny Lewis here tonight. Blake Sennett also in here from the band. More Adventurous, name of the CD. Here's something else off of that. They're out going to start their tour with Coldplay on the 30th, which is Sunday?
I think Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Soon.
Ooh. Yeah, that's exciting.
Detroit.
Not looking forward. Well, you know.
Detroit's a nice town. It's coming around.
Is it coming around?
It's coming around.
It is?
It's pretty scary still.
Parts of it.
Yeah. Let's not kid ourselves. It's still the creepiest city, in the
parts
50.
I'm trying to think. A lot of this stuff is subjective because it can't all just be done in FBI crime reports or average temperature. You'd have to go there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because everyone's a little bit different. Everyone's yardstick's a little different. I'd like to travel to every major city and just stand in the middle of it for like 20 minutes and then give it a score and move on to the next to really definitively find out.
Yeah. I feel we've done that to some degree.
On tour, we get a chance.
You do get a chance to do that.
A lot of national tours and a lot of them in a van where we're, not insulated at all. We're self-managing ourselves out there on the roads. And
Detroit ranking up there.
A lot of nice people there.
Say what you want.
Good rock shows, but kind of scary.
Yeah.
Scary.
The city itself is pretty post-apocalyptic.
But it's coming around. It's like
oh,
it's
Drew.
It is.
What do you know the mayor?
No, places just, I stayed there for a week and I saw him.
Conversely, places like Pittsburgh will surprise you a little bit.
It's true.
We like Pittsburgh.
It's very beautiful. A lovely place.
A lovely place.
True.
Somebody described it as picturesque.
It is.
It is.
Yeah. Jack Lambert described it as picturesque.
Two of our friends from New Zealand want to move to Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Of all the cities in the United
States. And New Zealand, you know how incredible that is.
Well,
it's beautiful.
That's really what it should say. Instead of the Steel City, it should say somebody from New Zealand wants to move here. That's the best thing you could say about your city. Yeah. Wow.
What was the other incredible city?
There you go. Yeah.
It was the hail and the Seattle. Fish market we went to.
Well,
Seattle.
Seattle. But here's the thing. Here's
that's Seattle.
Thing. True. People know Seattle is nice.
Yeah.
I think a few years ago,
Birmingham.
Alabama. We've been there.
Yeah? How'd we like
Birmingham,
it?
Also incredible.
Yeah, we liked that hotel.
Oh, we liked Birmingham, too, yeah. So here's the thing, though. I don't think most people around the country know the difference between Detroit and Pittsburgh.
No.
And
Are you kidding?
I didn't know the difference between...
East and West. Like we would take out maps of the United States every time we traveled and go, Adam, here's where we're going.
Well, we used to get...
We'd fight about it.
Our biggest fight was Rochester.
Oh,
because there's a Rochester, Minnesota, and there's a Rochester, New York. And that's where the fight began.
Adam was angry.
Well, angry I was talking about cities. Rochester. I was talking about Rochester, New York, and you were talking about Rochester.
Minnesota. Sounds like there's still Minnesota. A little resentment there.
There's some bad blood.
Well, a little resentment.
We don't let things go.
Well, here's all I'm saying. You shouldn't name the goddamn cities the same name. Yeah. We should decide on which ones. Here's the deal.
Like, my fault.
Well,
my fault.
You should have known I was talking about New York and not Minnesota. I mean, when you just say Rochester, you don't think Minnesota. You think New York. But here's my point.
Mayo Clinic, dude.
Okay, that's for you and your geek crew. Most people think, if someone says, I'm from Rochester, they would think New York. They would not think Minnesota. That's what I'm saying.
You're
but the fact that we have Salem, Oregon, and Salem, Mass, and all this kind of stuff.
Springfield, everything.
Thousand Springfields. Mm-hmm. It's going to lead to confusion. It just is. I mean, the whole idea of naming your city is so people know where they're going.
Kind of wants a national registry.
Well, here's all I'm saying. Rochester, New York takes on Rochester, Minnesota, and we see who wins, and then they're Rochester. The other one just...
What's the battle?
Rochester, UK or something. It's either the two mayors take on each other, or the toughest guy, or the whole town takes on each other.
Fighting championship.
Whatever it is.
All this talk about local color and all reminds me about the ranchero music.
Oh, really?
So let's get that over with. Let's do that.
Well, Drew, not if you're going to look at it as a teeth cleaning.
No, well, we have
this
to
is a good time.
No, it's a good time, but you need to get over the intro for the band.
Oh, okay.
That's what I mean.
Well, here's what we've figured out. If you live out here in Southern California and you hear a fair amount of ranchero music coming from cars, here's what I figured out. A lot of my Mexican brethren,
yes.
Air conditioners don't work in the trucks, windows down, ranchero up, therefore you hear it. See what I mean? You see Mexicans don't drive around with the windows up.
Interesting.
They like the air flowing through the locks.
Good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, point is you get exposed to this wonderful harmonic ranchero music.
Sure.
And a lot of it's accordion driven. And we try to figure out, as a matter of fact, I've never heard a ranchero song that did not have an accordion featured in it. And we try to figure out, we take a random ranchero song and engineerist Michelle cues it up to any part in the song and just hits play randomly, and we try to figure out how long before you hear an accordion.
We bet.
What are the stakes?
Nothing.
Just
a little something
winner.
Called pride something you can't buy.
I'm going to weigh in at 1 second.
1 second.
If I can take one second.
A lifetime.
Yes. By ranchero standards.
By ranchero accordion standards.
But a good bet. I'm from Echo Park. You know, I live in Echo Park, and so I hear a lot.
Blake,
I'm
going to go 1 second. You're going 1 second.
Good bet.
All right, Jenny?
I'm going to go 5.5.
Oh, wow. Also interesting.
I feel the accordion must be used tastefully.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
And a breath, perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps.
Maybe in the bridge. We're going to chime in the bridge, and maybe there's no accordion in the bridge.
You never know.
Therefore,
you never know.
This
you
music
never know.
Rarely bridges anywhere.
Jenny, right. I have to say, we can't break the seconds off into tenths, though. We can only go 5. We can go 6. We don't have the technology to break it down into 10. So you say 5.
I'll go 5.
All right,
we'll go 5.
I'll go 5.
Okay, Drew?
3.
3.
Going to split the difference.
Wow.
Okay, yeah. So we got 1, we got 3. Now, that basically leaves me with immediate.
Yeah, I think so. Or you could go 6, 6.5, 7. That's, just go up a little bit.
Or go up.
Yeah.
It's a long shot, though.
Or 2.
Oh, yeah. Instant is not a long shot. I would say most of our
It's hits, about half.
Half or immediate.
All right,
I think instantly is not a long shot. I was saying 6
oh,
is
yeah.
a long
oh,
shot.
7.
Yes, I didn't know you could take instantly. I might have taken instantly.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll leave it open to you if you want.
No,
I'll take a second.
All right.
All right. So Blake's got a second. Jenny's got 3. No,
got
Jenny's
3.
Got 5. You got 3. I got instant.
Here we go. We're going to wait another 5 seconds. 1, 3, 2, and go.
Oh!
Dead nuts on. She's some kind of witch.
Was it
throw
the bridge?
Her in the well. Throw her in the well.
She's really some kind of
like
ranchero
well.
Witch.
Oh, my God.
She caught the bridge.
We have to see if she floats.
She caught the bridge. Jenny, 6 seconds. Dead
wow.
nuts.
The long
Thank you.
Odds.
Thank you.
Dead nuts on. Dead nuts on. Drew, should I do the impersonation of went on in my house?
Where this came from, yes.
2 years of remodeling my house. Here's what every morning was like over at the Corolla household. I figure about 8:15, me stumbling into the garage now with my my morning wood, my coffee, and my bathrobe. Oh, you got to go hotter than this.
Walk into the garage.
Ozzy, we talked about putting that scratch coat on with a notch trowel. If you put that thing on with a smooth trowel, we're not going to be able to get the brown coat down here. We still want to shut that goddamn music off and get this! That's
every morning.
That's every single morning. Yeah.
And the police would come.
Every single morning.
He'd be out in front with a bat.
That's how every morning started out in my life. 6 seconds. Wow.
Remarkable. That's talent.
It really is. And it wasn't 5.5. You moved to 6 and pow. It could have been 6.3 to be fair. It was a long 6, but solid. All right. That's how the game is played. Sal?
Hey.
Hey, we're going to play Germany or Florida later.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
What's up, Sal?
She wins that. We have to do away with her.
That's right. What's up, Sal?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
First of all, I want to tell you, Adam, you probably saved my life last year.
Really?
From telling your whole thing about people jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge and everything. And,
wow, Sal. We didn't tell it for that purpose, but I'm really delighted to hear it made you think about it.
Well, I mean, you know, you'd say people would jump off, the people that survived, they'd say, like, you know, the second they jumped off, they'd think, holy crap, what did I just do? So
yes,
I saw a special on guys that killed themselves jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, and the handful of people that did survive the leap off the Golden Gate Bridge, they all said their first thought was, what have I done? The second they stepped off.
It was, I made a huge mistake.
Yeah, what have I done is implied in that. They stepped, you know, 1 foot off. As soon as they got past the point of no return, I mean, and not 30 feet down, but...
What an awful feeling.
4 inches away from the thing. Oh, my God, what have I done? Yeah. Now, some of it could be reflexive, but...
Well, but you know what happens in that setting? You get a rush of endorphins and things. It's like a shock therapy.
Right.
So your affect lifts in that moment, and you have some clarity and go, oh, my God.
Right.
And there you go.
You see your kids. So you heard us talking about that, Sal.
Yeah, and luckily that was the only type of vision that I had of doing it. I couldn't think of doing it any other way. So,
you were going to jump off of something?
Yeah, the
tower,
football stadium,
the tower. Oh, the stadium.
Oh, really?
Are you in college now at UT?
No.
Are you under treatment for your depression?
Nope, never got under any. Just the past last year, it started kind of clearing up, I guess, and I started working out.
You know, just because, you know, remember, these are life-threatening conditions you're dealing with. I'm glad it lifted spontaneously, but, yeah, make somebody watch over you
into the mic.
Make sure people, somebody watch, a professional watches over you a little bit.
Yeah, ever since I started working out, I don't think about it anymore.
All right, good.
Mm-hmm.
He also is listening to classical music and taking long walks.
He's running bleachers over at the stadium.
Yeah.
Hey, all right, Sal, what do you do for a living?
Need to find a new job right now.
Right now.
I'm going to guess that.
For right now.
Neurosurgeon. All right, buddy.
All right, anyway, my actual question has to do with downward curvature, Peyronie's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how far down are we going?
I don't know if I could really, it just depends. Some days it seems not quite as bad, and other days it seems worse. I don't know.
Well, a little down curve isn't going to hurt anything, right?
Well, it's the penis itself has not a decent curve, but it's just the erection itself doesn't go out straight. It hangs down.
That's fine.
Oh, the erection hangs down like a diving board where fat guys stand on the end of it?
Yeah, exactly.
What, with a curve with the fat guy standing at the end, or just because it's just straight going down?
Because
it's supposed to do that.
Wait, does your penis have a bend in it, or is it just head down?
It does have a downward bend. It's not crazy, crazy, but...
All right, so it's got a little bend, and it faces down.
Yeah.
That's normal.
It is?
It's like the look of some guys when they're flaccid who have a big flaccid dork.
Oh, all right. Well, listen, that's good. Does it go straight down?
Yeah, pretty. I don't know. I always hear about guys calling with this, and it's a problem. And now you're saying it's okay.
All right, okay. Well, listen. Hold on. Listen, Sal. First off, you're one of these guys who converts things into problems, which is something you should stop doing.
And we also, you've heard us also talk about guys that preoccupy about their penis and penis size.
Yeah.
It really isn't about the penis.
If your penis works and it doesn't hurt, then it's fine.
Well, if
I got a friend with this same kind of thing, and you know, he's a real happy-go-lucky guy. gets laid all the time, and he actually is quite delighted with his gonzo like.
Yeah, if you penis. Have if you have a, yeah. A curve that hurts your female partner, because downward curve. Well, have you anybody ever complained to you about it?
Well, that's the problem. Because of all this, I know this is the part in my head. Part is that I'm a virgin still.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, let's
doubt about it.
Yeah. Sal, here. Okay,
it's not about your penis.
Sal, you know I'm a genius and I saved your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to go from now that I've spared your life, I'm going to improve it. You got to get a little therapy. You got to get your head straight. This has nothing to do with your penis.
Nothing.
You're obsessing
nothing,
on it.
Nothing.
It's an excuse to keep you out of intimate relationships.
You just heard what Blake said. His friend's got something like this, and he's happy to go.
Blake was talking about himself, by the way. Yeah. But yes, I know. It still rings true.
Yeah.
The point doesn't change.
Look, you wouldn't do something with the other band members coming in here.
Right. Here's the deal, Sal. Get some help, buddy. Yeah. Don't focus on your penis.
Yes, you get your depression taken care of.
Get the good job, get the depression taken care of, and flourish. Yes?
Yes.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
All right. The phone number for Loveline is 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline, I'll be right back.
Get it on. That's what I got to say. Jenny and Blake are here tonight from Rilo Kiley.
Hello.
Howdy.
More Adventurous, name of the CD. We'll hear something more off the More Adventurous CD in the 11 o'clock hour. They're going out with Coldplay, going to be on extensive tour of the United States with Coldplay, which is starting this Tuesday in Detroit. Beautiful, scenic Detroit. All right, let's keep on keeping on and speak to Janelle.
Janelle.
You're 21?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, when I orgasm, I physically come. I squirt. Mm-hmm. And lately it's been seeming to kind of disgust my boyfriend a little bit. Right after we have sex or I come, he seems to want to hurry and get in the shower and hurry and wash the sheets and stuff like that.
See, Drew, the bloom is off the nose.
Guys lose it, don't they?
Yeah. I told you, Drew's always like, oh, man, this would just be hot forever. And I'd be like, this is a novelty that would wear off. It'd just be like one of those football phones from the 80s. Like, it'd be cool for the first five times it rings, but eventually you're getting tired of dialing the goddamn football.
All right.
You just want a regular phone.
So,
you know what I mean, Drew?
Yeah. Is there some way you can sort of capture this so it doesn't go everywhere? Which seems what bothers him.
I don't know. I mean, I was wondering if you knew anything, if there was any way I could control it or...
No.
I don't... I mean, if I can stop myself from having an orgasm, but...
Yeah.
You're getting angry about that.
Orgasm, yeah.
Seems like a weak solution.
Are you sure this is not urine?
Yes, I'm 100% sure.
Okay.
Because after I have sex, I go to the bathroom and...
This isn't... Yeah, no, go ahead.
How long have you guys been together?
We've been together for about 2.5 years.
Yeah, see? It's getting old.
Yeah. Yeah.
And are you, what position are you in when you orgasm? Are you on top?
Most of the time I'm on top, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to...
That's what they describe.
Yeah. How about if he got on top of you? Would it still work? Could you orgasm?
Sometimes it works, but not always.
Mm. Yeah. See, you got to roll the dice. Because on one hand, you don't get the dousing. On the other hand, it may not work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that the, you know, fairly simple solution to this, since it's not, you know, it's not like, well, can I have an orgasm without spraying on the guy? I don't think you're going to have that. It's not like, can I fart without crapping? That I could teach you to do.
Oh.
You know what I mean? But this ain't that.
Right. This is not something you can volitionally control.
No.
It isn't.
But I draw such a poetic picture.
It was well done. I'll keep it with me always, in fact.
Yes. I'm going to write it in my diary. I mean, here's the thing. You should learn to have the orgasm with him on top of you. If you can do it.
I think that's the trick.
If you can do it part of the time now, I bet you can move that to all the time, and then that'll save him.
Right, find another position so he doesn't feel so... vulnerable. Inundated.
Have you asked him if he feels disgusted? I mean, you drew this conclusion that he...
No, I haven't asked him yet. I don't know. I'm a little bit nervous to ask him. Are you disgusted by me?
I feel 2.5 years, you know, you could ask him. You could say, you know, not disgusted by you, but, you know, maybe off-put a little bit by this thing that happens with your body when you have an orgasm.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, your pet parrot craps on your sleeve. You're not disgusted by the bird, but you still go wash your sleeve off, right?
Yes.
Doesn't mean you don't like your bird anymore.
No, she's just like a parrot. That's what
it's
you're
like
saying.
It's like a parrot that crapped on his belly.
She's like a crapping parrot.
She has
to fart without crapping, and she has to be like a parrot crapping.
I think you could discuss it with your man, and maybe that would be the best solution to start with.
Let's take a break.
I think you should.
Yeah.
But use the parrot as a metaphor,
Of course. Okay. That would be moving again.
Yeah. Powerful stuff. Rilo Kiley in studio now. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Rilo Kiley's in here tonight. Jenny Lewis. Representing, we swapped out Blake, and we have Pierre DeReeder in here playing the bass for the band. Next week, we got a kid in from the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yeah,
that'll be nice.
And then
Annie Milonakis from the Annie Milonakis Show,
which is a Make-A-Wish for my kids if they were in that foundation.
Yeah, we produce that.
I know they're dying to meet him.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty great. I think he's pretty funny.
Andy, I like Whoopi.
The Andy Milonakis Show is a show my company, meaning me, Jimmy, and Daniel, our third guy, created and produced, although I didn't do anything on it.
And Jimmy's brother's really the one that acted with it.
Right, John. And this is one of these things where it was like 6 months ago or 8 months ago, like, yeah, we got Andy Milonakis, a show on MTV. And I was like, so what? That kid? What do you mean? What the hell are we going to do with him?
And who is that kid? Where did they find that kid?
Well, what happened with Andy Milonakis is...
Jimmy found him.
Yeah. What happened was is I was working on Jimmy Kimmel Live and or the Jimmy Kimmel Show, I think, probably as it's known now. And one of the writers or Jimmy or somebody, maybe it was Jimmy, just found this kid on the internet singing a song called The Super Bowl is Gay. And Jimmy immediately was smitten by Andy. And Jimmy brought him out here to like be a correspondent. And the next thing you know, he was doing the announcing on the show. But if you can imagine, he didn't jive well with the sensibilities of corporate Disney and ABC.
Oh, really?
So they got rid of Andy. But Jimmy always felt like we're going to do something with you one day, boy. And, you know, 6-8 months later, we pitched this thing to MTV, or our company did. I mean, just me and Jimmy and Daniel worked it out. And next thing you know, we're doing a show with Andy Milonakis. And I was working on something else. And I was just like, what the hell? What do you mean? What are we going to do with this show? And then it's like, hey, Entertainment Weekly, it's the hottest show. So what the hell do I know? Meanwhile, I'm just sitting back. Cashing the paycheck, you know what I'm saying?
That.
Yeah. So, Andy, international sensation Andy Milonakis is going to be in here. I have no gauge for talent. I think I'm talented, and he's not. I didn't realize. I got it flipped around, baby. Yeah.
My kids are.
I got the carbon side of that copy.
Huge.
Really,
boys. This is their Three Stooges.
All right.
Andy is their Three Stooges.
Yeah. Well, it's a good show. All right. And it just goes to show you, I mean, to be not, and Andy's a unique talent, no doubt about it, but we took all the super talented people, writers, directors, and producers, and guys we worked with at Crank Anchors and the Man Show and stuff, we took a good group of people and put them with him, and that's why the show is as good as it is.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's like, Drew, if you worked with good people, you would have a good show.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. What are we doing? We're taking some phone calls?
Let's do that. Yes.
All right.
Did you introduce Pierre?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Hey, and Drew wants to know if it's a Dutch name?
It is. It's Dutch.
See? Drew's smart. Not smart enough to work with good people, but smart. Bob?
Yes.
29?
Yes, sir.
Are you on a speakerphone or a cell phone?
I am on a regular phone now.
Thank you. You were on a speakerphone.
Thank you. What's up?
I have an interesting question for you. Been married 3 years, been with my wife eight, a total of 8 years. Mm-hmm. In the last few weeks, she's been wanting to, she has been fantasizing about being with a woman. I noticed a few weeks ago she's making comments about women's bodies at the beach or at the mall. Just, I thought it was funny, and apparently it's not funny, and the fantasy she's been having are led her to talk to me about she wants to be with a woman.
Okay. Now, what can you tell us about her and her history prior to you guys getting together?
Her history, she... her last boyfriend had actually almost killed her. Domestic violence.
Right, and to give us about her dad and mom.
Right, yeah, chaos.
Must have been a drug addict dad who was violent.
Actually, her mom and dad were married. The only thing that ever happened to her dad, her biological father, was he was in a bad accident at work. He was caught in a fire.
Ooh.
And his, he was basically disabled after that. Mm. So they didn't get a lot of time together after that, and she was like 10 at the time. So
well, now wait a minute, what happened to him exactly?
Well, he just lost movement in his arms, and they amputated his legs.
Oof.
Jeez.
So
yeah, but he was home then full time, right?
Yeah, and then the mom and dad divorced.
And so then she stopped having contact with him?
She has contact with him, but basically it's kind of like a holiday contact.
Did she ever talk about what it was like before he got in the fire?
What's missing? When he had arms, did he use them to beat her?
Yes.
I didn't
know. Sounded horrible, but you know what I mean.
Did he beat the wife or
either
we're
one.
Talking about
either one. Both are important.
Oh, no. Apparently he was a great, great father. What I get from it is he would go to the bar after work.
There we go.
So as far as any violence, she's never said anything about that.
You might ask her about that because she may have a lot of guilt about that if she's, you know, when something like that happens, oftentimes a lot of sins are dismissed.
And you see, here's what we always just hear in this show. We don't really hear sexual. We just hear chaos.
Yeah.
Exactly. So and that's where I was coming from because I want to know.
Well, you understand that what she's doing is you're a nice, available, quiet guy, and she cannot tolerate that, so she has to stir things up by creating some chaos in your relationship by saying, well, let's have a lesbian relationship into this. Then when you touch the woman that's in the bed with the three of you, she will freak out and use this as a reason to either end this relationship or create the necessary chaos.
Yeah, Bob, this
don't
is...
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want
to... It's a setup. It's a trap. It's a setup.
It's the physical... It's really the physical equivalent. Does this dress make my ass look fat? Don't answer.
I cannot believe that you guys couldn't tell this call was bogus.
No.
You guys are pretty good about that.
That was good. That was a good one. That was a very good one, Bob. See, that's
what you got specific information in there with the fire.
You set us up in such a way that we couldn't have questioned. The fire thing was interesting and sort of shocked us and pushed us back.
There may be some truth to that.
No.
Zero?
No.
He's saying no, it's all made up.
No.
They're saying no?
Amputations.
Yeah. So it's all made up. Well, that's good. And then you didn't say anything that put somebody in the present in danger that we had to address. You didn't break the rules. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's good.
Right.
It's perfect. The perfect bogus call.
It's awesome.
Well done.
You guys, excuse me for doing that, but you guys get everybody.
And it was not like, you. No, you're good.
Not you, Bob.
You're good, Bob. Well done.
I'm these guys tonight, so.
You did it.
I listen to your show every night.
Thanks,
no,
Bob.
I was entertained by the That's fine.
Well, here's how I feel about bogus calls, as I've said many times. If somebody said, you guys have to take 33 calls a night or you can't go home, I would be angry because this wouldn't count.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But if we get to leave at midnight every night, I don't care if it's one long bogus call. Yeah. As long as I get to leave.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like working for the post office.
But I get angry when I get stupid bogus calls that people stick to that clearly are bogus.
We get insulted when people don't put forth an effort.
The truth,
or
they, and they don't, then they won't.
Or they won't. They won't fess up.
Yeah,
right.
But maybe there's something good to glean from even a bogus call.
Yes, always. Yes, always. Absolutely. If they're done properly, if they make sense.
No, we say that all the time. If somebody calls and says, you know, my husband's an alcoholic and he's beating on me, and it's bogus. Well, somebody's listening who has an alcoholic husband is beating on him, so it doesn't matter. It's like saying that you can't learn anything from having a fire drill,
right?
Because there was no actual fire,
right?
No, you. Plenty to learn.
Yep.
Speaking
yep.
of, in honor of you guys today, my smoke detector was chirping, and I replaced the battery instantaneously.
Well done.
Wow.
Yes.
We haven't had one of those in a while. One aspect of the show I miss. I do miss that. Drew, stop.
What is that?
But Drew, here's the thing. Your mic is something's up with it.
Yeah.
You've punched it and moved it 8 times in the last 11 seconds.
Move it back.
I know, but Drew,
can you turn it off while you do that, or push the cough button, perhaps?
I got an idea, Drew. Why don't you just put it where you want it and not handle it so much?
Do I have a cough button here? I don't see why.
No, he doesn't have a cough button.
There's no cough button here. Yeah.
Drew punches the mic. I've been letting him. Usually I bust his chops on the fact that he actually whacks the mic, oftentimes with his forehead.
Glasses.
He breaks it up. He hits it with his glasses a lot of times. When he talks, he punches it. He swings his mug into it. He literally makes contact with the mic 6 to 8 times a night.
Sure.
Which is a strange thing. Now, I know you say you have no hand-eye coordination, yet you give people injections for a living, which sounds dangerous. Sounds dangerous. But for someone who can't control their extremities, it just seems dangerous to me. But
only miss some of the time.
Here's my point, Drew. What do you have? Do you think you have something? And I'm not coming at you, but I just mean, like we've talked 1,000 times about, like, let me throw it to break before you slam the mic in and put the thing over and stuff like that. But yet you can't stop yourself from doing it.
This is sort of an OCD quality of that. But
do you have that?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, I know. You're a motivated guy.
No, but there's OCD stuff, too, for sure.
You have that?
For sure.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, I must move the microphone before I get up.
It's in you. You can't even, you know.
He doesn't know he's doing it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I feel like I have flippers for hands. If I have a glass of wine, I will knock over all the glasses on the table.
All right. Well, not
I mean, it really is. It's unbelievable sometimes.
Right. But here's the thing, Drew. Here's what I'm saying. You have, it's like a guy who says...
There's like, Tourette's like thing.
I was saying, like, if there are a lot of guys who have excessive underarm sweat, right?
Where are we going with this?
Well, here's what I'm saying. If they're going out on a date or to a job interview, they'll not wear a tight-fitting, dark, button-up shirt that shows it all.
Prepare for it,
You know you have flippers for hands. Mm-hmm. Why do you handle the mic so much?
That's the OCD thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Jumping on tendency to...
By the way... That's what all this is about.
I know, Drew just fidgets, bangs around.
If I keep my hands moving, I will stay away from the mic. If I try to,
can we get you a tennis ball to squeeze or something?
I'll bring you toys, Drew.
Yeah, bring me some, but he'll get freaked out if my hands are moving. And if my hands are not moving.
No, hold on. Here's what it sounds like with Drew. Drew will try to open a CD, and it'll be like this. He'll be monkeying with it. He'll be fudging with it. He'll be fiddling with it. He'll be clutching with it. And then I'll go, Drew, stop that. Stop. Okay. And like 10 minutes later, it'll be like, just tapping it out.
Well, right now, this is what I'd like to fool. All right. See what it does to you.
I'll get you a slipper or something. You could chew on it.
Yeah.
All right. Do that, but just don't do the part where you tap it. Yeah, where you tap it. Just hold it in the air and do it.
Okay.
You got a motor in you, buddy. Mm-hmm. Passionate, man.
It's true.
Passionate.
I think you took 12 years to put this all together?
I didn't know what the actual affliction you had was, if anything at all. I was just curious why you couldn't hold still. You don't have that. You don't have...
It's really an anxiety disorder. That's what's on the rhythm.
It's all that coffee you drink.
And the coffee.
Yeah. But the thing about Drew is he's a good student. You know, good students...
That's
OCD
stuff.
No, but like, here's the thing. Most of the guys I know who can't sort of sit still, they can't really focus. Mm. An hour in a library is like 10 years in a library for them. You know, they have that motor. I got to get up. I got to move around. You don't normally have that. I got to get up and I got to move around and I'm going to bury my face in a textbook for 4 hours and concentrate. Mm-hmm. It's a weird marriage you have.
But you have to harness it.
Geek meets spaz. It's strange.
It's amazing. It's a harnessed spaz.
Yeah.
Eric.
Yeah. What's up, Eric?
I got a Germany, Florida for you. But and I also have.
Ooh, now we know Eric, and we know Eric. Eric's the post office guy.
Up, Drew? How's it going?
See,
yeah,
see the mine,
and that does the Adam impersonations.
Right, but not tonight.
Not tonight.
Okay.
Adam doesn't dig that. Hey, Adam, every time.
Hold on a second. No, you say I don't dig it. I beg you to do it every time.
No, no. Last time you sort of I got mad or something.
No, it was the time before that. I kept begged you to do it last time. You didn't want to do it.
All right.
Okay. Well, if we do the Germany or Florida, you still want to hear it, I'll go back and I'll get my notes and I'll do some for you.
That's right. You didn't have your notes. Go find your notes. All right. Give us a Germany. Here's how Germany or Florida works. He reads the bizarre story and then we guess, is it Germany or Florida? Go ahead, Eric.
Okay, I will. And just real quick, every time you talk about the alternative fuel cars and how we had, you know, VW buses in 1974 that got the same gas mileage.
Yeah, 69.
Yeah.
The difference is that those things made 40 horsepower. Now they're making 150. You know, they were virtually unusable before because they were so powerless.
Well,
they got you around.
Here's the deal. I had a buddy who had a VW van. We used to pack 8 people in it and go to Zuma Beach, and we had a good time.
Yeah, where you going?
Well, we're all in love, so it didn't matter how fast we're going, man. Now here's
the summer of love.
Here's the thing.
Right?
Obviously, they didn't have side curtain, you know, airbags and impact pillars and crush zones and stuff like that. And obviously, they weren't going 110, but they worked and they worked just fine. And they got the same mileage and it held 3 more people. So I'm just saying, where's the quantum leap in technology? I'm not sure.
He just if they tried to sell somebody a 40 horsepower car now, nobody would buy it. Because they're spoiled by... You know,
here's what I'm saying. The 86 Honda CRX was a pretty peppy, fun car to drive. Almost a sports car, and that thing got 50 miles to the gallon.
Yep.
Same as the Prius. So, touche, my friend.
Here we go. Eric.
That's why you make the big bucks.
That's Germany right. You work at the post office graveyard. Go ahead.
Germany or Florida. I work at a print shop, but that's okay. A 20-year-old man was arrested after he walked into the office of the telephone sales company he worked for, wearing a trench coat and armed with a shotgun, 2 handguns, and a sword. He proclaimed himself to be a vampire hunter and shot one of his coworkers point-blank in the head.
Oh.
Germany or Florida?
Tough.
Germany.
Germany?
It all felt Floridian until we heard about the sword and the vampires.
Sword and vampires says Germany to me.
Germany.
Is everyone going Germany?
I think we've heard about it.
Pierre, you're on
now.
I'm
Jenny?
Going Germany.
By the way, I'm on a...
I'm going Germany.
I'm on a horrible run. Anything I say... Be careful. I'm going to Germany.
Drew has been snake bitten
10 times.
I felt like we were let in by like trench coat and American and guns and things. So
right.
Shotgun. Germany. Shotgun's Florida. Mm, but could the sword.
Shotgun, Florida.
But the sword could be the.
And
red
the vampire
hair.
Hunter.
I think that's the trick.
Florida.
Go to,
all right, what's everyone going? Go? What do you guys?
Germany. I'm staying Germany.
Everyone's going Germany. I'm going Florida just to mix it up. Eric, is it Germany or Florida?
It is Florida.
Oh!
Hold on, Drew. Don't shoot
it out
first.
Oh, my God.
Drew's...
She's a witch.
Drew is...
I'm bewitched.
Drew, you...
Somebody put a spell on me.
Yeah.
This is, no,
Jenny,
like,
you went Germany,
well.
Right?
I went Germany.
Still, yeah. It's her fault that I screwed up.
Yeah, Drew, you said that about Dave Matthews last night, too.
Is she also a witch?
Yeah, you called Dave a she-witch.
I called him a warlock. Here's the...
Drew, you are 1 for 7.
At least. No, I think it's higher than that.
This is
this is
more than a slump.
Or is it?
Yeah, it's like I'm bewitched. Somebody's cast a spell on me, obviously.
Yeah. Eric?
It's you, Michelle.
Yes.
You don't realize how seriously Dr. Drew takes his stuff and what you're doing to his confidence and possibly his marriage.
My soul.
And his soul. All right, meanwhile, I'm happy he's the only one to go Florida in the group. So, Eric, I'm going to need you to get your list of Adam-isms and read them back to us.
I have my list here, but I am cold, so you'll have to grant me a little bit of leeway.
All right.
Okay, because I haven't scanned through this in quite a long time. It was about 6 months ago I called you last time and did this.
All right, just give us a little Adam, please.
Okay. My dad has no idea what time the show is on, blah, blah, blah. My dad is a huge pussy, blah, blah. I'm going to kick him right in the nuts. The crank anchor's on tonight, Comedy Central, blah. Drew, I tell you, people call this show such retards. You know, I used to do a little boating, southpaw, as a boxing. You know, you need some red wine. You know, it's my medicine, Drew. You know, I beat off the taboo. You know, he has it all. Yes, he does.
Ooh, I haven't heard that in a while.
He's pussy.
All right, hold on. That's got a little Rodney Dangerfield in it. Maybe
but
a little Adam.
It's all the things you say. The delivery is one thing, but those are the things you say.
I'll give Crank Yankers a plug.
Hey, how you doing? Ooh, yeah. Look at your hair.
Give Crank Yankers the last plug like 3 years ago.
He called us originally like a year ago with this thing.
Six months.
No, 6 months ago is when you got mad at him.
All right. Eric, go ahead, buddy. Give me a couple more.
This is the weakest list I have. It just happened to be the one I grabbed. But
yeah,
anyhow,
grab an updated one.
Down the Rodney Dangerfield here.
Hey, so you can put a little more gravel in there.
Here, yeah, you go. Here, I'll plug one nostril.
Go ahead.
These pussy politicians, you know, listen, you do what we tell you to. That's your job, is you pussy parking enforcement with your right-hand drive Chevette and these whack jobs and their netball religions. Listen, all these strip club lead DJs are all the same guy. You know, they got their ponytail and fanny pack and the Britney stage five. Well, I tell you, I'm a hairy guy. My asshole's like finding Santa Claus's mouth. That's all I got right now.
All right, Eric. That's solid.
That's good. Well,
all right.
Done.
Call back in 6 months. All right, buddy.
You've been redeemed.
All right.
You said all of these things. You said these
things.
Yes,
you said them.
These are all, but doing an impersonation or impression of somebody, it's not just good enough just to say what they said in the sort of cadence. It
wasn't quite accurate.
I give it a...
Pierre could do a better job.
I give it a six.
Pierre could do better.
Yeah. Pierre, you got better?
I give it a six. No, I don't have better. Buses. I don't know what that is at all.
Alex?
Hey.
You're 19?
Yeah. For a while now, I've been thinking about becoming a therapist. And, see, I guess I'm just wondering if this is a healthy career choice, because I've noticed that I have a pattern of becoming attracted to people. Like, because a lot of my friends, mainly females, will talk to me about their issues. Yeah. And I just have a habit of becoming attracted to them after, hearing their issues. And
well, you probably were into them before they started telling you too, though, weren't you?
Well, see, that's what I'm wondering. If this is just me overanalyzing the situation, or if this is just normal teenager behavior.
Let me give you two books to read if you're really interested in trying to figure this out. First of all, if you're interested in human behavior and neurobiology, go ahead and go into it. There's a book called The Drama of the Gifted Child that specifically talks about caretakers and why we become caretakers. And guess what? People that are drawn to being caretakers tend to be codependent, tend to have issues, tend to be perfect for other people. And then I wrote my book Cracked about this stuff.
No, I did. This was coming.
No, I did.
All right.
And it's a different kind of an exploration of the same topic. Okay?
It's a fast read, Alex.
Yeah.
So fast, I didn't read it.
So fast, you've never gotten near reading.
I'm not a reader.
A page.
I believe it poisons the
page.
Mind.
A chapter.
Well, look, it would be worse if I just read the first page and then said I never read the rest of it. Never buying it is probably just a better way to go.
Your wife's never read it. Oh, she read it. She liked it.
Did she? Okay.
I think she said she read it.
Well, I'll have her tell me about it if we start talking again. Right. Alex?
Yeah.
There you go, buddy. Don't be scared to help people. And don't be scared just because you get a boner when you're talking to girls.
You
don't
necessarily have to act out on it.
I'm serious. You read those two books. It talks about boundaries and those things. And that's what you need. You need some education on that.
What percentage of therapists do you think have feelings about?
You're supposed to have feelings about your patients.
Well, you know what I mean.
Oh, you mean like the feelings they want to act on?
I just mean feelings, you know, a little further along than the feelings, you know, you have for Engineeress Michelle and Engineeress Michelle has for anything with a penis. You know what I'm saying?
You are supposed to feel very deeply for your clients, but you're supposed to be, it's a contained feeling.
But what about...
It doesn't feel like it's going to get out of control.
Here's what I'm saying. How often is there a male-female therapeutic relationship where one or the other does not have those feelings?
It's not working if you're not having that. That's the point.
I mean feelings of I'm falling in love. It's sensual feelings.
The clients, the patients experience that commonly.
Yeah, I would assume that because especially females who are having a connection with a male probably have that where the line gets blurry.
They need to work that out.
And they do?
Yeah, that's the work.
Can you talk about that creepy part of it where I'm into you?
Oh, they do sometimes. Oh, yeah. But the therapist may feel deeply for the patient, but they don't eroticize it. It doesn't become an erotic feeling.
Yeah, except for you hear about it all the time.
Oh, well, there are sick people that are therapists that violate the boundaries, yes.
Well, that's my thing.
Thoughts are thoughts. I mean...
Thoughts are fine.
Right.
And thoughts, and usually, you see, the whole thing in therapy, you learn to read your own, what's evoked in you by the other person. You read them. So you sit and you have all these feelings, and then you sort of learn to read them and react to them and understand what they mean about the other person. You don't. It's not like you'd have it in the outside world where it means you're something you want to follow through on. It's like impossible. It's unthinkable.
I know I'm asking a question that can't be answered, but I just would imagine that there's feelings that, and I say feelings of sensual feelings.
And erotic. And that's not very, if you have an erotic feeling for a patient, it means they're evoking that in you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you read that as a histrionic or borderline or some boundary violation that the patient's trying to get. And you see, and you
becoming
see,
cathartic now.
No, no. And so you learn, well, that's actually what the book was about. That's what the book was about.
Oh,
well, learn
one?
To. Cracked my book
about what
people who are disturbed evoke in caretakers.
Uh-huh. All right.
And how what they need from you is just to be there and to have all those feelings and to tolerate it and to be present with them while they come up against those boundaries. That's it. That's your job.
I think a lot of therapists are not unlike cops. In the sense that there's a lot of folks that could easily be on the other side of the law.
Well, that's what Alex
who
is doing.
Are wearing badges yeah. now. It doesn't make them bad. It's that guy. We all know people that could just never be. I don't think young Blake was in here 20 minutes ago. Just wouldn't be a cop, but he wouldn't be a criminal.
Right.
The guys that make great cops would probably make pretty decent criminals.
Yes.
Too, if
and
they
that,
ever
and
had to.
And that's what Alex is fiddling with. He feels like, I'm codependent. I'm getting enmeshed with these people. Should I become a therapist? I'm attracted to that, but maybe that's not good for me.
He's 19.
Figure it out.
He just needs to get laid. We'll take ourselves a little break. Rilo Kiley in studio tonight, and we'll be right back after this.
Hello? Who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. You guys just missed quite a yarn I spun about hanging doors. It's exciting stuff. Rilo Kiley in studio tonight, More Adventurous, name of the CD, and we're going to hear something else off of that. We're going to take one phone call, and then we're going to hear a song. Melissa?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yes.
Hey, what's up, baby doll?
I have a question. I am really hairy, and it's to the point where, like, I've been called Sasquatch, and I'm really embarrassed about it.
That's awful.
And
that's tough, yeah. Unless it was by an Indian, in which case, kind of got to let him have that.
What's your question?
Well, I was wondering if there's, like, hormones, or should I just go for, like, laser hair removal? Because, like...
Yeah, the flash, the big area hair... See that? I just hit the mic again. The large area hair removal... the flash lasers, that sort of thing. And you also might want to get a medical workup. Has this been this way your whole life?
Well, it started off, like, I've always been hairy, but it's never been, like, sick and quite embarrassing.
When did it get so bad? You're 22. It's on now. It doesn't hit when you're 14.
Yeah, but it could hit when you're 8, 17.
You could see it, but it comes on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely thicker, like it's almost like pubic hair thick.
Where is it?
Around my belly button and on my back.
Yeah.
So you want to get checked for something called congenital adrenal hyperplasia, and you want to get checked for as hirsutizing tumors. You want to get checked for, it's usually a familial thing, but you want to get checked for other endocrine problems that can be associated with
it. How's the family doing? Are they hairy?
Yeah.
No, not really. I'm the only one. I mean, I have a Mexican background, but...
Oh, really?
Not really any of my Mexican family is...
You don't hear hairy.
You definitely want to see an endocrinologist.
Lazy you hear once in a while, but no must... I mean, I'm saying you hear it. I don't say it.
Right, you never
And this has just happened...
You don't hear hairy.
Last couple of years.
In the last couple of years. So could it at all be related to a hormonal imbalance?
Well, that's congenital adrenal hyperplasia and also what are called androgenizing tumors.
So you would see an endocrinologist.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that, Melissa.
So do that and make sure there's nothing wrong with you, because otherwise you have a more serious problem than something superficial
and then
like this.
A plastic surgeon or somebody who does hair removal.
Everybody's made nice strides in this department over the last few years.
Yep.
But I can tell you, I had that laser thing on my neck where I was getting my neck rashed. Didn't do S.
You didn't go back. You were supposed
I
to
went
multiple
two
times.
Screw Dr. Marcelli. Charged me full price.
Ooh.
Jesus Christ. $80 worth of gas driving out to his office, wherever the hell it was.
Seal Beach.
Melissa.
Yes.
And also, you're just going to have to hook up with a guy who's sort of cool with this stuff.
Yeah, my boyfriend says he doesn't care, but I...
All right,
really
well, leave it. All right. Do what you can, but you got a guy who doesn't care. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guys are very adaptable.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Here's the thing, though, and no one really ever says this. We just keep telling ladies, oh, go fix this, go fix that, go take this off. We tell the same thing to guys. Here's the deal. Just marry someone who doesn't give an ass, and you're in pretty decent shape. I know women, not as much as guys, but find someone who doesn't care, take his word for it, and get on with your life. Start cranking out them hairy kids. You know what I mean?
It's your song, speaking of hairy kids.
Give birth to some gerbils.
Oof.
You know? Yeah. Let's hear a little song, yeah?
Yeah.
How are we doing there, engineers, Michelle?
All ready to go.
You queued up?
Oh, yeah.
All right. This song is called I Never.
I'm only a woman of flesh and bone. But I had never, 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 never met you. So baby, be good to me. I got nothing to give you, you see, except everything.
Is that a full, do you have a full orchestra? Is that all scored and everything?
Yeah, we had a string section. Our friend Nate wrote the string arrangements.
It was really nice.
Thanks.
Had a little, little throwback, little, I don't know, Tammy Wynette or something in it.
Yeah.
A little Coal Miner's Daughter or something going on there.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Nice.
You have a great voice.
Thanks.
I was talking about me.
Yeah.
No. That was awesome. Drew, where are we going?
You want me to do right another there. Impression?
Do me. Do me. Somebody do a good me. Hey, if you can do me good enough, I'll let you do me full time.
The whole show.
I'll go home. Not everything.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's all I got to really
blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah.
That's all you got to do. Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Ooh, he's good.
That is good.
Wow.
Yeah. You got to change your name, though. I don't know if they're going to buy it from Pierre.
This is Pierre. Blah, 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 blah. I'm just trying on a suit. I don't know.
Emily?
Yes. Hi.
Well, listen, it's definitely better, and I could play the bass, so that's for sure.
Well, let's switch.
Go ahead, Emily.
Hey, okay. About 5 weeks ago, I was hanging out with some friends, and I smoked some chronic.
Nice.
For, like, a couple days, like, 3 or 4 days after, I would go for, like, a couple hours, and then I'd be high again, and then a couple hours. And this is not bogus.
No, I know. This is, you're lightweight. That's,
what do you mean high? What would you experience?
Like kind of lightheaded, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, not lightheaded, but, like, well, you're a doctor. You've probably never been high. But, like, hey, Drew, it's cool.
Is she high now?
I don't know. I feel high now. I at least got a good contact on.
Emily.
Listen, your lightness. This is what happens. Pot is too good now.
Is it just pot you're smoking?
Yeah, it was just pot.
Yeah. Good and, pot.
Well, like, I'm on a couple pills for, like, ADHD and stuff.
Ooh,
and,
what are you taking?
Well, okay, my doctor said that Risperdal would help me connect the dots.
Is that Risperdal?
Okay. Yeah.
And
yeah.
then
what else?
Ritalin.
Help you connect the dots.
Ritalin. So is there alcoholism in your family?
No, not at all.
Nowhere.
Hmm. All right. Well, look, here's our rule. Emily, we're not uptight, but if you're on meds, you should not be smoking weed.
Especially Risperdal.
Or doing anything.
Yeah.
You're 17, baby.
Okay, well, okay, but the past couple of weeks, I've been really, really moody and really, really low and just, like, almost to the point of, I don't know what, but it's just...
Well, you need to talk to... Is a psychiatrist?
Talk to your doctor.
Yeah, you definitely may need a mood stabilizer or an antidepressant.
Yeah.
Okay, well, depression is a dangerous thing, right? You're having horrible feelings.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I called some hotline. They have on our ID cards at school, for high school. Well, I just graduated. I'm going to Moore Park. Yay, go Moore Park. They have, like, hotlines for different help things, and I called one of them, and they gave me some psychiatrist to talk to. I haven't called them yet, but I should.
Well, it's on your school ID.
Yeah, I don't understand why you don't talk to the doctors who are prescribing your medications.
Well, no, I did. I talked to her, but I didn't tell her about it because, I mean, my mom was in the room. And
All right, you need to call them and talk to her about it. Please, Emily. It's very serious, okay?
All right, baby. Come on now.
I mean, like, I've been feeling on edge, like, all the time. And things aren't as clear as they used to be. Yeah. I suck up words and things.
All right, got to put her on hold. Thank God she has a retainer in her mouth or something.
Because that's suck up.
Yes. Sound like suck up.
Sound a little bit like that.
Yeah, but I think it may start with an F, though.
Yeah.
Okay, go back to the doctor.
Yes, Emily, this is serious. I don't think it's the marijuana that caused the decompensation in your mood, though it didn't help. You're not on antidepressants. You're on a stimulant and Risperdal, so more may be needed here.
Okay, true.
Yeah.
What if we took some sort of probe, some sort of core probe of your average 17-year-old's brain today.
Yep.
I'm going to go a step further. I'll say female brain and the same age person in 1955, living in the same country, in the same part of the world, same community. Seems like everyone just has the weight of the world on their shoulders
now. Well, you're going to, again, find people you're more likely to hit somebody from a disturbed family system now. And therefore, you're going to have different upbringing issues. You're going to have attachment problems. You're going to have mood stability problems.
It has, and then there's some external cause.
Then you're going to have people doing drugs that mess with their brain chemistry, and you're going to have people engaged in their personal relationships too early to handle. And make
now, how about the sort of envy and longing and these things that are built into teenagers and now watching, being bombarded
watching
by images
Laguna Beach every week and
Yeah.
Saying that. That's not going to
help. I just mean, you turn on... I watch Entertainment Tonight with my wife, and I can see her start getting angry. Like, it's like a beautiful Sarah Jessica Parker and a Ralph Lauren is now... And everyone, the flash bulbs are popping. Everyone's on the red carpet. Everyone looks stunning. Everyone's having a great time. Everything's amazing. And I could just see my wife sitting there thinking, why don't I have that dress? How come we never go on the red carpet? This sort of envy, and then that quickly turns into anger. Yeah. Like, what's going on? Why aren't we doing this?
Yeah.
And she's not even bad that way.
Right.
I mean, if you're a 17-year-old chick and all you see is, you know, beautiful women who seem to be, in Saint-Tropez, what's that do to you when you're living in Simi Valley and your stepdad's a dick?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much, it just seems like there's so much more to process in a factory that can only handle so much.
Yeah.
That, like, it's like everyone's inbox is stacked to the ceiling now.
Yep.
And they can only move so much paper per day.
I'm with you.
But then when does medication become, and I don't want to get all Tom Cruise or anything, you know, I think medication is absolutely necessary for some people, but for an average 17-year-old girl, when does it become,
it's a very hard call to
make.
The
only option.
I mean, it's 1 out of 5 kill themselves that have bona fide major depression, and Emily fits that profile.
Chicks don't do it as much as the dudes, though.
They don't complete it as much as the dudes.
They try, but it's a crime.
And she said, she didn't say it explicitly, but she was talking about having suicidal thoughts.
Yeah,
and
but
so
how
she
do you,
definitely needs it.
Yeah. And well, look, here's the deal.
You have the qualified people trying to make those decisions.
But is it in a way, I guess it's not a whole lot different than other medications. You go in, you see a doctor, this person is theoretically qualified, and you figure out whether you need that or not.
But
and,
connecting the dots?
Yeah, that was weird.
She has a thought problem, it sounds like. She probably has a personality disorder, too, because they'll talk about that sort of holding them together a little bit, containing them. And or she could do intensive therapy twice a week for the next 8 years.
Yeah.
In the meantime, and that would be great, and she would be better with that. But in the meantime, her life could be in danger from the mood problem.
So it's a safety net, really.
Yeah, but she's not doing no one does the therapy. No one's willing to do that.
Or
no
the lifestyle change, the exercise and all of the things.
The insurances won't pay for it. It's very expensive. It's very time-consuming. You have to be willing to change, and people won't do it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But what Jenny's saying, too, which is if everyone took a 5-mile walk every morning and listened
That's
to classical music,
absolutely,
they would be fine.
If they, listen, the bottom line is,
exactly.
Well, the bottom line is a willingness to change.
Right.
And people want to blame externals.
Well, not only that, but nobody, this society puts zero emphasis on
that. I am rereading Dante's Inferno, and in there, every person in hell takes no responsibility for everything that happened to them. They blame everything that happened to them for why they ended up in hell.
I'm going to not reread your book, Drew. I think I said reread.
Just not even touch it.
Yeah. All right. Let's not externalize anymore, Drew. Let's take a quick break. Be right back after this.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Rilo Kiley, band in tonight. We got Jason swapping out for Jenny, and Pierre has been in for Blake and doing a yeoman's job, by the way.
Oh,
yeah, doing a incredible impersonation of me.
Incredible. Anytime.
That was incredible, Duke.
Blah, blah, blah.
I was in the other room, and I really appreciate it, though.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
April?
28. Hey.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Man, you're hard to get a hold of.
Good.
I want
to be easy to get a hold of.
I missed it.
Yeah, I have been trying to have another baby since January. I had an IUD, and he's 7 years old, so I had it for approximately 7 years. And I'm wondering maybe what kind of tips I can get on women's health.
Have you been menstruating normally?
Yeah.
How old is your... Your husband, how old is he?
He's 28 as well.
He's a husband?
Yeah, my husband's 28.
Mm-hmm. Oh, novel.
Yeah, all right. And you want to have another kid, and you had the IUD in, and it was taken out.
Trying for 6 months, basically.
Yeah, I had a doctor tell me that I needed, like, 3 different surgeries.
Uh-oh.
And I went to another one who immediately took it out within, like, 25 minutes.
What were the surgeries?
It was a scraping of the uterus / look around outside of it.
And why did you not get that?
Because I really had a creepy feeling about the guy.
And the doctor that took the IUD out said you didn't need anything?
No, he basically just said, here it is, showed it to me. You know, he had his nurse's assistant.
Do you have a history of endometriosis?
No, but I'm kind of worried about that because I get really, I work a very physical job and
what do you do?
I get a lot of cramping.
What do you do?
I work at UPS, and I unload and load trailers.
All right, you need to go back to the gynecologist, have an ultrasound, maybe even an MRI of the pelvis.
Your mic's gone bad, Drew.
I know, it's sounding weird.
All right, stop talking. April.
Yeah.
There we go.
What, they let chicks unload those trucks?
Yeah, dude. I'm, like, way tougher than most of the guys I work with, and I shouldn't be saying that, but it's true.
Yeah. Well, you have endurance. Women are better in the endurance department, and they're grittier, too.
But I'm concerned about these pelvic cramps and pains. I mean, you could have a problem with the lining of the uterus. You could have an infection in there. There could be an infection in the tube. There could be endometriosis. You have a lot of question marks.
All right, well, back to the doctor.
I'm curious about that because I just did some reading on
All right, go back to the doctor.
Really?
I'm not going to sit and have me ruminate on your vagina for 20 minutes.
The fact that you haven't gotten pregnant is not that big a deal. It's only been 6 months. But you apparently got pregnant more easily at 21. Of course you would. And you've had an IUD. And in the meantime, there could be other things that have happened since.
The important piece of business to take care of is to go in and talk to your manager and ask him about that "what can Brown do for you" cliche that you idiots have clung to for the last 3 years. It's the world's worst. I've never heard a worse cliche than "what can Brown do for you." It's a horrible saying.
I agree.
It's not a great business. Like,
no, it's like,
that should have been shot down.
It's a slogan.
Yeah, but
as slogans go, it's so horrible. I mean, what
it's
do you
really
think
weak.
Of when you?
I mean, stink maybe of fecal matter. That's all. Oh, I probably
well,
was
only,
thinking about fecal
only
matter.
Only you and
anyway.
Jason, you're the only two that have done that. Nobody else in the country.
I doubt it.
We speak and think for most of
and
this country.
And then there's sort of a weird racist quality to it.
Yeah, I never really thought about that, but that's true. I think Duke, thinks
the
race.
The mind of Mencia last night, he said the United beer something. Yeah, something to
right.
the crown.
Yes. Right. Yeah. that's whatever direction you go in Brown, it's not
ain't good.
It ain't good.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is how does that get off the ground? You know what I mean? It gets pitched. A lot of bad ideas get pitched. Somebody has to pipe up and go, okay, you're fired.
Gilligan's
What's next?
Island, F Troop, Dream of Jeannie, all those things were pitched.
Well, that's true.
Are you implying that those are bad shows?
Just that the pitches must have been something to behold.
All right.
I think a poo.
We will take ourselves a quick break. Be right back after this.
Loveline will be right back.
That's the show. I want to thank Rilo Kiley for coming in here tonight. Quality. Synonymous with quality.
Agreed.
Not as good as "what can Brown do for you" in the slogan department, but synonymous with quality. Solid.
Well, Rilo Kiley is quality.
Is quality. More Adventurous, name of the CD. They're going to be out with Coldplay, so look for them. Is it Thursday? Who do we got to thank? Engineer Marcus. Who else?
Michelle.
Trisha. Anderson.
Junior.
Producer Lauren.
Ann.
Producer Ann.
Rick.
Was here all week.
Rick for doing a wonderful job.
For Michelle, too, during this week.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. So.
What?
Yeah. You don't replace Michelle. You just sort of stand in the place that she stood.
Yeah.
No, nobody can fill that big maxi pad.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. So.
Maxi pad.
You know what I'm saying. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying. Mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.